All righty, hour number three of our radio program. Fun show so far. We started things off talking about why Sean McVay may be falling in love with Aaron Rodgers and may say, "You gone," to Matthew Stafford, even though I think the Rams should keep Stafford and have Aaron Rodgers go somewhere else. We did a little 10 best non-quarterback draft from this past year of the NFL season. Cooper DeJean from the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles did join us. I think the wine buzz that I had when I took a sip of, not a sip, I had a glass of wine with the exciting white of Cooper DeJean, and I opened up a bottle of white wine, finally did just wear off. So the next 60 minutes, now I'm hungry, if I'm being honest. I am hungry right now. We go for some greasy food or something like that. But fun chat with Cooper DeJean. We did a little Take 5 Wednesday, and now we'll get to the percentage meter. So Stu has compiled a list here of about 7 or 8 topics, and it's a statement. So, like, for example, a statement could potentially be the Las Vegas Raiders will trade for Myles Garrett. And I would give you a percentage, and I'd be like, 0. Because I, you know, Myles Garrett wants to go win a Super Bowl. You're not going to the Raiders if you're serious about going on out there and winning a Super Bowl or getting to a Super Bowl. So, Stu, give me the statement, and then I'll give you the percentage of chance of the likelihood of that statement actually happening.
Okay, the Titans will take Cam Ward with the number one pick.
So Tennessee could obviously do 3 things. They could trade the pick. They could keep the pick and not go with a quarterback. So that would either be Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. Or they could take a quarterback, and then if they are taking a quarterback, I think Cam Ward will be the first quarterback off the board, but they could take a quarterback, and they could go with Shedeur Sanders. So the statement of Titans will take Cam Ward with the number one overall pick, I think people are going to be surprised by this one, because I don't know about you, Stu. It feels very ambiguous right now. You feel like anything is kind of on the table, all options on the table?
Definitely. I don't know what they're going to do.
And right, I wonder with the combine coming up next week, what the feeling will be coming out of the combine. And then even if there's one feeling coming out of the combine, things could change up until the buildup of until the end of April when the first round actually happens. And how many times do we just get fed BS stories, if I'm being honest? I remember that year when people said, oh, Will Levis, oh, the odds have shifted where he's going to be the first overall pick in the draft. And then Will Levis didn't even go in the first round. You know, Malik Willis, we are all easily going to be a first-round quarterback. He ended up being a third-round quarterback. Kenny Pickett went in the first round. And then the next quarterback off the board wasn't even Malik Willis. It was Desmond Ridder. So you never know what to believe this time of the year. I say this now. Just go with your gut and don't be influenced by the outside noise, because you never know where the outside noise is coming by. And you have the number one overall pick. Are there generational talents at the quarterback position this year? I would say no. But when you need a quarterback, and Will Levis is the guy right in Tennessee, and it's been 2 years and he's been nothing in Tennessee, I think they're going to take the quarterback. I do. And I think they're going to take Cam Ward. So right now, I'd put that number, even with all those options on the table, at 60%, which I think is pretty high up there compared to what most people would do right now. So I think there's a 60% chance that they end up taking Cam Ward with the number one overall pick. What's the next topic?
All right. Aaron Rodgers will be an L.A. Ram.
Sean McVay is the wild card here. Because I think he should find a way to get the deal done with Matthew Stafford. And you don't let Matthew Stafford walk. Or you don't get rid of him, I should say, because he's still under contract for 2 years. But could McVay be trying to get the best of both worlds, where even though I think Matthew Stafford's the better player right now, you get rid of Matthew Stafford, you get either a first round or a second round pick and then some, right? Depending on who you trade him with. Because if you trade him to the Giants or the Jets, you're not getting the 3rd or 7th pick in the draft. If you trade him to the Steelers, you could get their draft pick, their first-round draft pick. And do you maybe get some capital back? You bring in Rodgers, right? You only look at Stafford, has another year or two left. You look at Rodgers, only have another year or two left. And is it inconceivable for Rodgers to have a better season next year than Stafford? No, it's not inconceivable, even though I think Stafford's a better quarterback. But even though where there's smoke, there's a fire, I'm still trying to debate what the smoke level is here and how much, you know, where is the fire located and what does the fire tell you? So is it on the table? And if the Rams do move off of Stafford and get rid of him, the quarterback they should bring in is absolutely Aaron Rodgers. Not Fields, not Kirk Cousins, not Russell Wilson. I don't think they're in position to trade up in the draft. The number's still going to be low. But it is the move that should happen if, and I don't think they should get rid of Rodgers, but if, or Stafford, but if they do get rid of Stafford. So Rodgers to the Rams, I'll put it at 10%. I still think it's going to be Stafford, but man, if they say, hey, we're getting rid of Stafford, I would jack that number up real quick. But I'm going Rodgers to the Rams 10% right now.
J.J. McCarthy will be the week one starter for the Vikings.
98%? I don't even think this is that much of a question. So I leave 2% in there for the crazy chance that they somehow bring back Sam Darnold, where they've already let Kirk Cousins leave. So if you let Kirk Cousins leave and you used a top 10 pick, which you traded up to go get one spot to go get J.J. McCarthy, if Kirk Cousins, who was good for you, you let him leave, I think you leave Sam Darnold, you let Sam Darnold go, even though Sam Darnold had a good season. But Sam Darnold could have made this a lot tougher of a conversation, but then he played like crap up against the Lions with the one seed in the division on the line, and then he was terrible in the playoff game. So I think J.J. McCarthy is going to be the week one starter. Is there maybe a minuscule chance if there's no market for Sam Darnold? Because I don't think they're going to tag him. So if Sam hits the open market and there's nothing there, does maybe he goes back to the Vikings on a one-year deal? Like, I guess it's possible, but I don't think it's likely. And then you always have to factor in, hey, unfortunately, J.J. McCarthy suffered an injury. Does J.J. McCarthy get hurt again until the start of the season? But I think this is pretty high up there. I go 98% chance that J.J. McCarthy is the week one starter for the Minnesota Vikings.
All right, Russell Wilson will be the quarterback for my Raiders in 2025.
Definitely a chance. I say 25%. You know, I'm not saying it's unlikely, but you look at what the Raiders could potentially do. I think they're in the market for Rodgers. I think they're in the market for Justin Fields. I think they're in the market for Russell Wilson. And even though it was an ugly ending with Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, I guess bygones be bygones, and they have kind of made up. But also, I just still think there's a chance. I'm not saying it's going to happen, that the Raiders move up in the draft, or maybe all this talk about Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter ends up making them the first two picks. The Giants take a quarterback at 3, and then the Raiders end up getting their guy at 6. A lot of these mock drafts, and I don't know, Stu, because we talk about right getting your emotions toyed with. A lot of these mock drafts now in the last week have the Raiders getting a quarterback at 6. Like the creme de la creme mock draft guy is Daniel Jeremiah. Yesterday, Abdul Carter 1 to Tennessee, Cam Ward 2 to the Browns, Travis Hunter 3 to the Giants. New England takes Will Campbell at 4. Jacksonville with Mason Graham ends up going 5. And then Shedeur Sanders in at number 6 with the Raiders. Now, you're more used to this game of dealing with picking early in the draft. I'm like a new customer where I've seen my team do it more recently because my team now sucks and they just are a bad football team. But where are you at right now on the whole Shedeur Sanders bait?
Yeah, I think Field Yates also today had Shedeur at the Raiders at 6. So
I just got a great text. I'll continue your sentence. Go ahead.
I'm trying not to take the bait. I still think they'll go higher. Cam and Shedeur will still go in the top 3 or 4, I think.
So you don't think they're going to get him?
I don't think so.
So I'll throw my number out there for Russell Wilson. 25%. I put 25%. There's other options there. I think there is a decent chance, like 25% is a decent number, but there's so many options here on the table. I just wonder, see, the Raiders could tip their hand from now until the draft. Because, right, if they sign Russell Wilson on a one-year deal, if they sign Justin Fields on a one-year deal, you know, that doesn't preclude them from going and getting a quarterback, right, in the draft. It's a one-year deal. You know, Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, thanks, but you know, it doesn't mean that they can't take a quarterback in at 6. And heck, we just saw a year ago the Atlanta Falcons give Kirk Cousins a 4-year contract with $100 million guaranteed, and they took a quarterback at 8. But you would think, even though the Raiders operate a little backwards, if they go give a 3 or 4 year deal to Sam Darnold, with Pete Carroll being on a limited timeline with his age, you would anticipate, right, Stu, that then at 6 the Raiders aren't going to take a quarterback. You know, they're not going to trade up to go get a quarterback. If one falls to them at 6, it's a possibility. But if you give Sam Darnold 3 or 4 years, I think they use that for another need to fill their roster then with the 6 pick.
Yeah, they're not signing Darnold and drafting a quarterback in the first round. I that would be kind of backwards. That'd be like what the Falcons did last year.
Yeah, which it's possible, but are you going to see that happen at back-to-back off seasons? Probably unlikely. Now, here's the bizarre text I just got. Do you participate in any Super Bowl boxes this year?
No, I don't.
So I get asked to be in a good amount. And this happens every year where you register for so many, right? I think I was in 5 this year. Where Marash asked me, someone here asked me, and then my barber has them up on the wall in like September or October, and he fills up like a bunch of sheets. And like in September, October, November, I could push him off. December, I get to January and I come in for my haircut before the Super Bowl. You know, I could say no and walk out, but I feel bad doing so. So he just texted me. I didn't even know my numbers. Hi, you won Super Bowl boxes. So now I got to look what my numbers were. And I got to see, he wrote boxes. So like, all right, boxes on the sheet. Did I win it one time? Did I win it two times? I want to know. And I got to see how much money that I ended up winning. And I think it was like $20 an entry. Or maybe it was 10. I don't even remember. I think it was 10 an entry. And I put 2 entries in there. So now I got to look during the break. This was a very good, very good day for me. Now, I hope he's just not texting me. And, right, he has so many clients. And he got me confused with somebody else. Because if you tell me I win, I better have won. So now I got to communicate here. That's a good job by my barber, by the way. Because I would have never known that I won. Would have never known that I won. And at least that he texted me. You know, albeit almost 2 weeks after the Super Bowl. But at least he texted me. So now I got to see what numbers I had during the break. Anyway, Raiders getting Russell Wilson. 25%. What's the next one?
All right, the Jets will trade up for a quarterback.
You know what? I think I started a firestorm down the hall on WFAN. So we played that Nevin Shapiro clip last week, right? I think it was. We played it last week of Nevin Shapiro, right? The convicted felon, Nevin Shapiro, who used to be a big Miami booster, and he's very connected with Miami. And he said, right, on his podcast, I saw this clip of, hey, the Jets, he's hearing that they're going to trade up to go get Cam Ward in the draft. So I sent it down the hall, like, hey, you guys may be interested in this. And, right, it's kind of crazy how the news cycle works. Like, we were on this last week. They've been on this down the hall all today. Late yesterday, and then all of today. So I think we kind of started a firestorm there where I don't even know if they would have saw it at the fan because it's such a peculiar clip. And I just happened to find these clips. You know, it's part of what we do as a show. And now, right, Evan was asking me about it today. I heard Gio and CeeLo were talking about it today with Boomer on the morning show. So that's kind of made the rounds. And I know they're playing the clip that we edited. Why can't I speak right here? Am I still drunk?
Edited.
Yeah, I don't know why. It just sounded weird when I said that. Because I sent the full clip to Samter, then he truncated it, and the truncated version is what they're playing down there. So I guess it's in the system, which is fine, right? We're all the same company. It doesn't matter. But anyway, that has been a story now, where you say the Jets will trade up for a quarterback. I understand why the Jets would do it. Because, right, it's early on. It's a new regime calling their shot. Muji saying, okay, we got a good young roster. We got to take advantage of this young roster. And let's go get our quarterback in there. I still don't think, though, that they're going to do so. Because one or two, I still think a quarterback goes. So whoever doesn't take a quarterback, there'll be a spot to trade up. Are you moving up from 7 to 1, 7 or 2? It's not crazy. We've seen crazier jumps in the draft. But I think the Jets stay at 7 and maybe go get like a Tyler Warren. Or, you know, whoever falls out of the first 6 picks. Right, we talk about Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, Mason Graham, Ashton Jeanty, Tyler Warren, the offensive tackle out of LSU or Texas. Right, we also discuss Will Johnson. Like those are 7 or 8 names right there, and you know probably 2 quarterbacks are going in the top 6. So you got a good player there at 7. I think there's a 15% chance the Jets trade up for a quarterback. I think it's more really more unlikely rather than likely. Even though we've kind of brought up this story to the attention, I'm not going to trust Nevin Shapiro as the main source. That's just me. You know, you got to take it for what it's worth, but you take it with a massive grain of salt. I'm not saying it can happen, but I'm not there yet. The Jets are definitely traded up in the draft.
All right, Myles Garrett will be traded to the Buffalo Bills.
So here's where I'm going. I think there's 5 teams that could be in play here. So I'm going to go 20%, 20%, 20%, 20%, 20%. So I'm saying it's a 20% chance. I think the Bills are in play. I think the Lions are in play. I think the Chiefs are in play. I think the Eagles are in play. And I think the Commanders are in play. That's what I think the five most likely destinations are. And if I had to do a tiebreaker, because I just gave you 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, I would say the Commanders are probably the most likely because you got a new owner. You just got the quarterback. He's on a rookie deal, right? You could use a, you have a face of your franchise on the offensive side of the ball. Now do you have a face of the franchise on the defensive side of the ball? But I'll say 20% for the Buffalo Bills. I feel like we always speculate the Bills to trade for someone, and they usually don't end up trading for someone, and they're still always there at the end of the year. But I'll say 20% for the Buffalo Bills.
Brock Purdy will be a top five paid quarterback.
What do you, well, like, you know what's crazy when you go through this? I actually think people are going to be surprised by my number. Because if you hear top five paid quarterback for Brock Purdy, Stu, you don't think he's actually a top five quarterback in the NFL, right?
No, definitely not.
But how many quarterbacks do we see that are good that get paid great money? Do you think you could name? I'm going to put you in the spot here. It's tough because it's not Mahomes and it's not Josh Allen. You know, Josh Allen is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. AAV is the 14th highest paid quarterback in the league. Mahomes is 13th. Do you think you can name who the top five highest paid quarterbacks are in the NFL just in terms of AAV, so their average annual value?
Okay. Dak Prescott?
He is one at $60 million.
I know Jalen Hurts is up there.
He is not.
He's not, wow.
So Jalen Hurts got paid.
Like 2 years ago?
Was it last? I think it was last offseason.
It might have been last offseason already. That's crazy.
Yeah. Jalen Hurts is $51 million. So that puts him at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 9. He's ninth.
Trevor Lawrence is up there.
Yes. Trevor Lawrence is in the top five. He is at 4 at $55 million. You got a few guys at 55.
Joe Burrow is also up there.
He is 2 at 55. So you got two more here, Stu.
Lamar Jackson?
No.
Hmm.
Not Lamar Jackson. Lamar is at $52 million a year.
So he's just outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
You're
missing two. Both were paid recently.
Both were paid recently. Interesting.
And you were right, by the way. It was 2023 where Hurts got the deal.
Okay.
April of 2023. So you were right.
Oh, Tua.
Tua, yep. He's fifth. At 53 million. You're missing one. You almost forgot that this guy got paid.
It's not Watson, is it?
No, it is not. It's not Watson. He's at 46 million. Fully guaranteed contract. He's not even a top 10 quarterbacks, which is crazy.
Jordan Love?
Yeah.
Right.
Jordan Love at 55 million. Good job, Stu. So if I look at those quarterbacks, Dak Prescott's very good. Not great. Joe Burrow's great. Jordan Love is very good. Trevor Lawrence. Still a lot to prove. And Tua Tagovailoa is good. You're telling me that Brock Purdy, even though I don't think Brock Purdy is a great quarterback, you're telling me he's not getting $53 million a year? You know, bare minimum to put him in the top five? Brock Purdy's been further in the playoffs than Dak Prescott. I don't think he's better than Dak. Joe Burrow and him have been to the same level in the playoffs, but Joe Burrow's clearly better. Brock Purdy has been further in this league than Jordan Love has, right? Further than Trevor Lawrence and further than Tua Tagovailoa. That's the case of a solid or good quarterback getting paid elite money. Brock Purdy absolutely is going to get top five money. The only way he doesn't get top five money is if he says, I want to take a team discount. And how many times does that really happen? So I'll go 92%. That Brock Purdy will be a top five paid quarterback. You know, I factor in 8% of it not happening, one for the team discount, and two, maybe they just don't get the deal done this offseason, which I think they will. All righty, last one, right?
Last one here. The Bengals will get deals done with Hendrickson, Chase, and Higgins.
All three. For a cheap organization, too. I read today that Jamar Chase is probably going to get at least $40 million a year. Whew! T. Higgins. I think T. Higgins and Jamar Chase get paid. And I think they find a way to tinker once again with Hendrickson's deal. Like, I know, I think he only has 1 year left, but I have a feeling maybe one of them doesn't get done. But maybe they just say, hey, we're going to swing big here. We'll figure it out at the end. And then you wonder if they, you know, how the rest of the team's going to look. Because that line has problems. And then also defensively, they got a lot of work to do outside of Hendrickson. Now, I did see that Adam Schefter said the salary cap is rising from $255.4 million to $277.5 million, and then also $281.5 million for the upcoming NFL year. So it's going to be between, excuse me, $277.5 million and $281.5 million. So that's a pretty big increase. You know what? I'll go 40%. I don't think you could get rid of Hendrickson. Because, right, that defense stunk, and he led the league in sacks. And Burrow's going to make a huge push. You'll get chased on this offseason, but he's going to make a big push to keep Higgins. There's already that speculation that Higgins is going to stay on the franchise tag, and then they're going to work to get a long-term deal done. So I'm going to say 40%. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network, teams at our crossroad. Who do I believe in? I'll tell you those answers next. All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Let's do this right now. We've identified teams at a crossroads. Could go either way, right? You could see them maybe making the playoffs, or you could see them totally missing the playoffs. And when you're kind of stuck there in the middle, or you've had some, maybe even some success, and it's coming to the end of the road, what should you do? So the way that we'll approach this right now is I'll tell you which one of those teams at a crossroads do I still believe in. I think Stu has compiled a list here of like 10 teams or so. So, Stu, give me the team name here, and then I'll tell you if I believe in them or not.
All right. What about the Dolphins?
I don't believe in them. Tua struggles to stay healthy. I know Tyreek Hill walked everything back Super Bowl week, but let's see if they end up keeping him. I don't trust Chris Greer. I think the flavor of the month in Mike McDaniel has kind of expired, and you've already advanced to the next month. Defensively, they got a bunch of problems, right? Vic Fangio was the problem. Guy goes to Philadelphia, and he wins the Super Bowl and puts up one of the greatest offensive performances that we've ever seen in the Super Bowl. I just think that's a team that they went in. They have a lot of talent, but they weren't able to go deliver, and they weren't able to win with that talent. I just don't believe in them, and I think that this should be the final year of Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel, but you never know because Stephen Ross has been employing Chris Greer for far too long.
All right, what about the LA Rams?
I still believe in them. And I still think they get the benefit of the doubt as long as McVay is there. They did a good job retooling that defense with Young and Turner, and you got Fisk and you got Verse. Offensively, you got Puka Nacua. You're probably going to say goodbye. They've already announced it. We'll just see where he goes with Cooper Kupp. Kyren Williams, I think, is a very good back in this league and was a touchdown machine this past year. I won a lot of money betting him anytime touchdowns and being in all my parlays. The question just is, what do you do with Stafford? And if you get rid of Stafford, I think they're going to hand the baton over and they'll bring in Aaron Rodgers. But I still believe in the Rams because ultimately my gut just tells me, even though I could start to see it go the other way, that Stafford's going to be back. And that was a team that was very close to making the NFC Championship game last year.
All right. What about Hot Take Hickey's Colts?
He's got the flu, by the way, I heard.
He does.
And is that like a HIPAA violation? I'm not a doctor, but I don't know if I was supposed to say it on the air, but Hickey got the flu. That's why he's not.
I don't think he's going to sue you.
Yeah, that's why he's not here. Well, you never know. He could look at me and get some cash, you know, maybe get Gelb fired, take over 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. You know, there could be that way. I don't think Hickey, as benevolent as I've been to Hickey's growth in his career, I don't think Hickey's going to take a knife to my back. But you never know. Sometimes it's always the silent ones that end up being the most deadly. That could be a case. So that's why Hickey's not on with us today because he's recovering. You know, he's got the black lung pop. And he's got a little bit of the flu. It's a great movie, by the way. Zoolander. Have you ever watched Zoolander? I know you're not a big movie guy.
I've never seen. I know the reference, but I've never seen the full movie.
Yeah, when he goes into the mines and all that stuff and he goes underground and he's doing the coal mining. He's like, pop, I think I got the black lung pop. Can't believe you've never seen Zoolander. Now, I'm not one of those. There's a lot of big movies that I haven't seen ever. But Zoolander, for people our age, is a massive movie. Santer, have you seen Zoolander? I know you're a big, like, crazy movie guy.
I've heard of it. Once or twice, I may have.
So you've seen it. You're just being sarcastic.
Of course.
I was going to say. I was like,
I mean, listen, I love Stu to death, but I mean, his movie and TV knowledge is really sad. I love Stu, but just like...
No, he's right. I have no time. I have no time for movies. None.
What do you mean no time for
no
movies?
No time. I'm watching sports and stuff.
That's all I do.
But he watches all the games. That's what Stu does. He watches all the games, and then all the other time, he's being a good boyfriend. That's what he does.
You know, I used to watch all the games, too, and I used to watch all the movies. I used to watch the games, the movies, and play video games.
And I heard you were a crappy boyfriend.
It was awesome. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
To Indy, though, I'm out. I don't believe in them because I don't believe in their quarterback. And you got a running back now that, right, has had some wear and tear on the body. He's still a very good running back, phenomenal running back. You got Michael Pittman, who's very good. But I look at that team, they could be derailed by a quarterback. And I don't believe in Anthony Richardson. And they don't believe in Anthony Richardson because they benched him last year. And you don't bench a fourth overall pick. And I know people could tell me, oh, but the Panthers bench Bryce Young. And look, he won everybody back over. I don't think Anthony Richardson's going to win back everybody over. Like, you look at Bryce Young. Bryce Young had a lot of good tape. Anthony Richardson, they keep on telling me what he can be. And like, oh, one little moment here, one little moment there. But we don't see those consistent moments. So I don't believe in Indy because of the lack of a good play at the quarterback position in Mr. Anthony Richardson.
All right, what about the Seahawks?
I think they have a good foundation. I think they're a good team. But for this upcoming season, I'm going to say I'm out on them just because I think they need to make that next step at the quarterback position. I think if Seattle said, hey, we're getting rid of Geno Smith, we're looking for a quarterback, they would have a quarterback within the next 2 years because that's a sexy destination. Even if you get rid of Tyler Lockett, you got Jaxon Smith-Njigba, you got DK Metcalf, you got Reek Woolen, who I do like a lot in the secondary. You got Kenneth Walker. Like, they got pieces there. And I think McDonald is one of those new coaches now where he's a player's coach, but he's also not a doormat. So I like them, but they need to go get the quarterback, and I think they're going to run it back with Geno Smith, who's fine, but you're not going to win a playoff game or multiple playoff games with Geno Smith.
All right. How about the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Here we go. I'm, like, grinding my teeth when I do that. I don't know if that sounds great on the radio. Pittsburgh Steelers are going to Super Bowl. Here we go. I don't believe in the Steelers. That defense took a step back last year. The line is still a question mark, even though they have a lot of young players in the offensive line. So maybe they take that next step next year. Their quarterback options, like even if they get Aaron Rodgers, he's going to be running for his life. He'll be running for his life, and he can't run. And Najee Harris is probably gone. George Pickens is there, but he's one game away from not getting enough targets where he basically just quits on the organization. So I'm going to say that I don't believe in the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they haven't won a playoff game since the 2016 season. So it's tough to actually believe.
Staying in the AFC North, the Cleveland Browns.
God, no, they stink. And I know like 2 years ago they were in the playoffs, but you made that move for Deshaun Watson. You could survive a year, but he's never playing another game again for the Browns. And also, I think people forget about the Deshaun Watson report that he's probably going to be out for most of the season too, as he had complications with the surgery. So, like, I don't think he's ever playing again. Even if they bring in Kirk Cousins, Nick Chubb has now had a bunch of injuries too. You look at that team, there's just not a lot to like there. And Myles Garrett's going to get traded. So I think that team's going for a total rebuild, so I can't say I believe in them.
What about Santers Jets?
Good young roster. Quincy, and the Williams brothers, Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, but no quarterback. So how could I sit here and say I believe in the Jets when they don't have a quarterback? So I will say no.
What about the Dallas Cowboys?
So believe to what level on this one? Because, like, I don't think it's crazy to see the Cowboys back in the postseason next year. Now, I don't love Schottenheimer. I wouldn't have hired him. But isn't that usually how this goes? Everyone rags on one hire. Everyone's, like, just slams one move and the guy ends up being better than what we think. And, right, Dak got hurt last year, so now Dak could come back. Micah Parsons got hurt last year, had 12 sacks in 13 games. Now Micah probably be healthy next year. You got CeeDee Lamb, who's one of the best wide receivers in football. You know, in an NFC where, sure, the Eagles win the division. The North, let's just say it's still the Lions. The South, okay, you want to go Tampa Bay or Atlanta, whatever. And then the West, you know, even if we say that it's the Niners, then, okay, you look at the wild card teams, Rams potentially, Seahawks potentially, Packers potentially, Minnesota potentially, the Bears, right, the Commanders. Like, the NFC has done a good job. But if you tell me next year that the Cowboys go win 10 games, is anyone that shocked? And if 10 wins gets you in, is anyone shocked by it? I wouldn't. So I will say, it's weird because I always slam the Cowboys. I am cautiously optimistic is the way that I would say it. So there is minor belief for me in the Cowboys. I think they can make the playoffs next year.
All right, last one, the Cincinnati Bengals.
They got the quarterback. More and more by the day, it seems like they'll be able to keep the 1-2 punch of Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. Trey Hendrickson is still there. A lot of other holes in the defense. They just, like, if they could be healthy and get off to a good start, Cincinnati has showed the propensity to be able to beat Kansas City in the big game. So I look at it and I say to myself, yeah, I believe in Cincinnati because you got the quarterback. And look at last year, right? People are like, the Bills are heading to a rebuild. And you know why I said the Bills aren't heading to a rebuild, or they're retooling and they're going to take a step back? Retooling, I think, is the better word to say, not rebuild. I said they got the quarterback. So their Super Bowl window isn't shut as long as you have the quarterback. And that's why I picked the Bills last year to win the AFC East, and I picked Josh Allen to win the MVP. I think the Bengals make the playoffs next year, and they're a legitimate threat to go to the Super Bowl. So I will believe in the Cincinnati Bengals. That's a nice little surprise here. 225. For the Super Bowl box that I won, that I didn't know that I won. It's not bad. I'll take $225. So get like two dinners in the city if that. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. One more segment to play. We will take a look back at the draft pick that we were most confident in that did not turn out to do well. And also one that you criticize that turned out to be a lot better than you thought, as we take a glance back at Eagles fans who were freaking out a few years ago when they took Jalen Hurts in the second round. Update time first. Here's the Ackman. Alrighty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. It's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Zach, who's a team that's good that missed the playoffs that could actually benefit from missing the playoffs in this draft to help them out next season? You could submit a question by tweeting at INF Sports Center at Zach Gelb using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. I think the first two teams I go to are the Cincinnati Bengals and the San Francisco 49ers. Now, the Niners are sitting there at pick 11. So you take a look at that. They could go get a big-time player at 11. You know, the Cowboys being at 12 aren't horrible either. And they could probably use another defensive player, maybe a corner. You know, could they potentially trade up and maybe get a Will Johnson? And you take a glance at the Cincinnati Bengals picking at 17, you know, who needs help in their defensive line. And, you know, Jesus asked me this in the chat. He goes, like, who's a player that the Bengals could get at 17? And I think Kenneth Grant out of Michigan would be pretty damn good if they could get him at 17. Anyway, let me play you this. So this was going back to when the Eagles drafted Jalen Hurts in the 2020 draft. You actually forget that Jalen Hurts is a part of the 2020 draft, because you had, in the first round, we focused so much on Joe Burrow going one. Then Tua Tagovailoa did go 5. Then you had Justin Herbert go 6. Also, Jordan Love creeped in there in the first round where the Packers traded up to get him. And that started the bleep storm that was the whole Aaron Rodgers thing. And then in the second round, it was like, oh, yeah, you got Jalen Hurts. And Jalen Hurts has won a Super Bowl. Super Bowl MVP has been to 2 Super Bowls. So let's listen up to those Eagles fans. Remember, at the time, Carson Wentz was paid. Carson Wentz was their guy. And this was the Eagles fans who are upset with the Eagles drafting Carson Wentz. Jalen Hurts.
Philadelphia Eagles select Jalen Hurts, quarterback, Oklahoma.
What? This is stupidity at its finest.
I don't understand this team anymore.
You didn't want to give up a second round pick that you just threw, blew it. You just blew it. They should fire his ass.
We are paying so much money for Carson Wentz. This dude is elite.
And I don't want to hear people say, this is a great pick. You moron.
What you smiling for, Doug?
Damn it, man.
So that ended up working out pretty damn well. And it's funny how those things age. Because there's always a pick that people can't stand. And Howie Roseman at the time, he kept on saying this. Eagles are a quarterback factory. Right? He would always talk about the quarterback factory in Philadelphia. And no one understands the importance of a backup quarterback more than Howie Roseman. Heck, having Nick Foles when Carson Wentz got hurt is why he won that Super Bowl. So when the Eagles drafted Jalen Hurts, I thought it was too soon. But I also acknowledge it's an insurance policy, and I always liked Jalen Hurts. You know, I remember doing shows and saying, oh, maybe the Patriots should draft him. But I looked at it being an insurance policy because Wentz was one injury away from no longer being there. And little did we know, Wentz was this horrible teammate, and he was so just mentally cooked after, you know, having an MVP season, getting hurt, and then Nick Foles winning that Super Bowl. It's just one of those things where Wentz kind of talked himself out of Philly. And also, since he wasn't healthy, kind of limped out of Philly. And it was crazy how they got the return they did from the Colts. You know, find the sucker, and there you go. And then Jalen Hurts goes on within a four-year span, two Super Bowl appearances, one Super Bowl win, a Super Bowl MVP, and right now is the fifth-best quarterback in the NFL. So that ended up working pretty damn well. But let's do this. We'll go around the room here. Who is a draft pick, Stu? Let's start it off this way. That you did not like. That ended up being pretty damn good.
Okay, this one might shock you.
Yeah.
I was not the biggest fan of the Khalil Mack draft pick.
Wow.
I wanted Johnny Manziel on the Raiders. I was enthralled with Johnny Football, and I thought he was the guy. And I was like, God, he drafted this guy out of Buffalo. Like, he's never played anyone. Like, what's this guy going
to
be?
You know, my sister went to college with Khalil Mack.
Really?
Yeah, my sister knew him a little bit. My sister, my now brother-in-law, and also my cousin. They all went to college. They used to hang out with Khalil Mack. So, Khalil Mack, since I just knew him because I would actually go to games there at Buffalo, right, when you're like parents' weekend, and I would just go with my parents to visit my sister, things like that. I remember Khalil Mack playing in college. Turner Gill, I think, was the head coach there at the time at Buffalo. All righty, how about that one? Santa, who's your one that you criticized and then ended up being pretty damn well?
Mine, it's not necessarily his fault, but this was back in 95. I was at the draft, and as a Jets fan, we were chanting, we want Sapp, we want Sapp.
You wanted Warren Sapp?
At the time, that's before he wouldn't shake my hand.
But yeah, at the time, walk off on us.
So we ended up taking Kyle Brady, number 9. So I was already pissed. Everyone was pissed.
Yeah.
So at number 16, the Jets had another first-round pick, and they drafted some guy that nobody had ever heard of named Hugh Douglas. And so we were so pissed. We were booing the pick. Like, who's this? First, we get a tight end instead of Warren Sapp, and now we get this guy, Hugh Douglas, who ended up being the Defensive Rookie of the Year, a 3-time Pro Bowler, a first-team All-Pro. Love me, Hugh Douglas. So, but at the time, was not a fan.
Alrighty, here's mine. It wasn't that I disliked the player. I was just doing the live draft show, and I thought it was way too soon. And that was Jahmyr Gibbs when he went 12th overall. I'm like, you take a running back like Jahmyr Gibbs, who was going to be a first-round pick, right? Nice story, Georgia Tech, Alabama. You take him 12th overall? Well, he's been one of the better weapons in football, and he's been a stud for the Detroit Lions. So that was one that I got wrong. And I remember, you know who loved it? Perloff. Perloff loved it. And I was like, I just think 12 is way too early. I don't think JR was a fan of it either when the three of us were doing the draft show. All righty, Stu, who's your draft pick that you thought was going to be a stud? You have probably a laundry list of them.
Several of these.
That ended up being one big fat bust.
Darius Hayward Bay, maybe?
No.
No, this is the obvious one. I said one fat bust for a reason.
Fat bust is the key word.
You got a playbook?
Of course, that is Jamarcus Russell, who, as Mel Kiper said, some, you know, reminded him of the next John Elway, and obviously he wasn't anywhere close to John Elway.
All righty, Samter, who's yours?
There were two guys I was deciding between, either in 2020, Chase Young, number 2, or back in 2014, Jadeveon Clowney, number 1. I thought both of those guys were going to take the league over.
Clowney had a good career, but he wasn't generational.
We thought he was going to be generational. We thought he was going to be the next
Taylor.
Yeah, or Reggie White or whatever on that defensive line. He was fine, but not great, and Chase Young has been nothing.
Yeah, so who'd you end up picking?
I'm going to go with Clowney because he was number 1 overall.
Yeah, I remember I talked to Chase Young. Paul Alexander said he reminds him of Lawrence Taylor. I asked him about that, Chase Young, and he was like blown away by it. He was like, wow, that's some big praise. But yeah, both guys. Clowney had a good career, solid career, but it wasn't ever generational. And Chase Young, unfortunately, had a really good rookie season, and all his injuries did catch up to him. All right, an honorable mention. The Lions, with all the wide receivers that they had before they ended up getting Calvin Johnson. They went on a stretch of Charles Rogers, Roy Williams, and Mike Williams. Bust, bust, bust. But the guy that ends up being the draft pick for me, a shout out to Chad Jackson, too, second round. I thought he was going to be really good. I was so annoyed when the Patriots weren't able to get Vernon Golson. The Pats were through another trade where they're at 7. The Jets are at 6. I wanted Vernon Golson at Ohio State. The Jets take him at 6. I was, as a kid, devastated. I think it was my first hot take. Like, I thought Vernon Golson was going to be a stud. He's going to be unbelievable. I love him. You know, he's going to be the next generational player in the league. He sucked. He was terrible. And the Patriots traded back, and they drafted Gerard Mayo, who ended up being, not as a coach, he was terrible. But as a player, he was pretty damn good for the Patriots. So Vernon Golson was my first great draft miscalculation. All righty, that will do it for the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network on this Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow on a Thursday edition at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. Big thanks to Cooper DeJean for joining us today from the world champion Philadelphia Eagles. We'll be back tomorrow, everybody. Appreciate you listening to us across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, SiriusXM Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and, of course, streaming on YouTube. You can always follow me Twitter, Instagram, at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. We out. Stu, Samter, thank you. Act, thank you. Each and every one of you, thank you. Bye-bye. Peace.